The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, the smallest part of a letter, will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to brother Raca will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first, be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on your way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Be seated, amen. We speak a wisdom to those who are mature. Not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, for the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I like to come down and get a little closer to you if I can do that. You can all hear me back there, yes? All right. What does it mean to be a Christian, certainly a Catholic? It's not easy being a Catholic. It's even harder to be a good Catholic. We think of ourselves sometimes being good Catholics because we come to Mass. That's pretty minimal. I've known a few good Catholics in my time, here and there. It's not a religion for the weak. It's not really a religion for children. Oh, shocking. You know, let the little children come to me. Isn't that what it's all about? Christianity is an adult religion. It's tough. It's hard. It's hard to live it. And we know that we cannot live it by ourselves. We need help. First thing we look at when we come into a church, certainly this church, is we see a crucifix. We see a man dead, hung on a tree, stripped and beaten. And we look at that and we say, this is God's love. This is the love of God made perfect in the world. And this is revealed to us through the Gospels, through the faith of the church, in the persons of the apostles, and our teachers, our bishops, our pastors, but mostly by one another, the faithful, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, who have bequeathed us this great heritage of faith, a faith that is not easy to live, but a faith that is very demanding of us to be obedient to the law. Jesus gives us a whole new level of what it means to be in obedience to this law. Sometimes we miss the psalm, which was sung very beautifully today. Thank you for that. The last strophe of the psalm today. Instruct me, O Lord, in the way of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Discernment means to separate out. To discern something means to separate and to distinguish that which is important and that which is not. The calling as well as the temptation. We are tempted, as our first parents were tempted, to go our own way, to do our own thing, to be our own person. But as Christians, certainly as Catholics, as Christians, we're called to be perfect, rather to be perfected. We cannot be perfect. I can't be perfect by myself. I need your help. You need my help. We help each other in this perfection. This is why we're called the body of Christ. This is why we come to church. This is why Mass, Holy Mass on Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation is a requirement. It's just not a request. It'd be nice. if you come to Mass. No, it's a requirement. And I come not for myself so that I can get something, but I come for you. You come for me to strengthen the faith that we share. And so we're reminded in the Hebrew scriptures, in the prophet Sirach today, that wherever we stretch forth our hand, we're going to be given. We get to choose. We can choose death or life. Choose life. And if we choose this life, we need help to live it. And this is where the discernment of the power of the Spirit comes in. You know, in a few minutes we're going to be professing our faith. We'll be reciting the creed. And in the creed, we're told that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, Father, we got this image of God, you know, this with the long beard and all that. And then Son, okay, we got Jesus. But who is this third person, this Spirit, who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity? This is the person that you are. This is the person in you, God in you. This is why the apostle says in his letter to us today, he says, the Spirit discerns, separates even the mystery of God, of who God is. We have an insight into the nature of God's own self. It has been revealed to us in the book of God's works, creation, the heavens, the galaxies, from the microbes all the way up to the quasars. There is order, there is structure, there is law. Science helps us to discover these laws. You see, science is not the enemy of the church. Science is the daughter of the church, a child of the church. It's the church that brought science into being to discover the laws that God has placed in God's creation. And we have discovered many of these laws. And we're continuing to marvel at the order of the structure of these laws. They're all predictable. We can send rockets to Mars. And that's because mathematics and science operate and describe the structure of God's works, the book of God's works. Then there's the book of God's word, the Gospels, the Bible. And what we really need to concentrate on, in my estimation, in my opinion, is a return to biblical Christianity in the church. So that each one of us is very familiar with the scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation. How many of us read the Bible every day? How many of us even know where our Bible is in our homes? Some of us may not even have one or know where it's at. Get that Bible out and read it, the book of God's Word. Doesn't matter where you begin. I like to begin at the beginning of a book. Genesis is a good place to start. You know, it's all in order there. So I think that when we examine in our own life the book of God's work and the book of God's word, we're led to a conclusion. We're led to a discernment of truth. And Jesus gives us this truth. He's the one that says to us, let your yes mean yes, your no mean no. There's too much of this equivocation going on. Way too much of it. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to make people uncomfortable. We as believers in Jesus, who is the Son of God, must say so. We must share that belief with others. Not in a confrontational way, but an invitational way. In a way that invites them into the truth. That the universe isn't just some random collection of chaotic molecules that bumped into each other, but rather is structured and ordered and created, and that we are the crown of that creation, created in God's image. And Jesus is the one who gives us this capacity, we call it grace, this capacity to live this truth, to live it in our life, every day of our life, every moment of our life. Now we're subject to sin, we're subject to failure, all but Jesus and his Blessed Mother. But it is in the power of the Spirit that we have to trust that God is going to continue to enlighten and strengthen us so that we can live this truth. And our yes is yes and our no is no. Everything isn't gray. There's a lot of black and white. And we're living in a time right now which is very difficult. When I was a little kid, it wasn't that way. Things were kind of black and white. I grew up in the 50s. Everything was perfect. Even though it really wasn't, but I thought it was. And now, I don't even recognize this culture anymore. People are confused about gender. They're confused about life. They're confused about so many things. We are the ones, we are the conscience of our society. We are the conscience of our culture. And our culture is and has gone astray. We are the ones who bring it back. We are the ones who call our culture, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our town, our county, our world back to sanity. So when you're, excuse me, when you're shaking your head and you're thinking, oh my gosh, can it get any worse? Look at the positive. Look at the opportunity. Look at what you can do in your own life to make a difference, to be bearers of the truth of who Jesus is, and to proclaim it in word and in deed. Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to have our catechumens and candidates come forward. These people are seeking the truth. They are seeking to become one with us, in one communion with us. These people need our help and our prayers. And we need them so that we can see that God continues to inspire and work in our culture and in our society to bring all to the truth. I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus didn't just come for his own people. He went to them first, the Jewish people. But he came for all of us. Thanks be to God. We, as disciples of Jesus, know this to be true, and we share it with one another and with the world. Amen. Amen. Amen.